Genesis chapter number 25, and we'll read one verse there, and then we're going to go to chapter number 32 and read a couple of three verses. I won't do you like one fella. He said, take your Bibles and turn to anywhere you'd like, and I'll be by there directly. Genesis chapter number 25, we'll read verse number 26. The Bible said, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Of course, we know the meaning of that name is trickster, conniver, supplanter, manipulator, liar, cheater, wheeler, and dealer. And that's exactly what Jacob was. 93 years pass between that verse and our text in chapter number 32 and verse number 24. As Jacob is here left alone by himself, there wrestles a man with him, look in verse 24, until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, notice this next phrase, I want to use it, let me go. For a few moments tonight, my heart is on this thought of releasing some things to God. Allowing God to take charge in our lives. Jacob comes into this world with his hand on his brother Esau's heel. Somehow, through just that nature, he understands that the firstborn gets the blessing and the birthright, and he wants that. And I commend him because he wanted that. Esau disdained it. He didn't want it. But it seemed as though that Jacob figured the only way to get what he thought that God wanted for his life was to wrestle for it, to stronghold somebody for it, to grip or to press, to wrestle, to choke, and to squeeze. In other words, Jacob was going to have it his way. Now, what he wanted was right, but he was going after it the wrong way. That is possible to go after wrong things, and of course, you'll be guilty in everything that you do. But it is possible to know God, but yet proceed with life with your own fingerprints on it. Squeezing and holding and trying to dominate and getting things your way. He's doing his best to control all circumstances that are a part of his life. He wants to determine the outcome of matters to his own liking. I don't know if down here around Stark, Florida, there's anybody like that. I don't know if you've run into anybody that likes to be in charge, one that likes to control certain things, someone that is determined to get it their way. They are a squeezer, if you will. And of course, I realize that Jacob died several thousand years ago. But would you believe that this morning over there in the prophet's chamber at Faith Baptist Church, I think I caught a glimpse of him? Only sad thing is, I was the only one there. But when I was looking into the mirror, I thought I saw somebody that likes to control too much, likes to be in charge of too much, likes to handle too much. And it is painful when we read these records in Scripture and somehow catch reflections of ourselves. It's kind of like the old fellow that had never seen a mirror and he plowed one up. He looked at it, it was brass, and he looked into it and he thought it was a picture of his grandpa. So he put it in the drawer. His wife saw him put it in the drawer, so when he left out, she ran over and pulled the drawer out, and she'd never seen one of them mirrors either. She pulled it up and looked at it, and she said, there's that old hag he's running after. Well, sometimes these resemblances can be painful. And as we see the story here, we understand that Jacob's life is one of struggle that he brings upon himself. He does this for 93 years. He's in conflict with his brother over this birthright. He's in conflict with his father over this blessing. He is in conflict with his uncle over the cattle. Everywhere he goes, he gets into a fight because he's got to have it his way. But the truth of the matter is, and again I say he wanted the right thing, but he's going after it the wrong way. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to ever enjoy God's blessings, you're going to have to do what the angel of the Lord said unto Jacob on that fateful night as he was 93 years old in chapter number 32. He said to him what his father tried to tell him. I'm sure what Laban tried to tell him, his uncle. I'm sure what Esau tried to tell him, his brother. Let go. Let go. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody here that maybe the Holy Spirit might speak to your heart and say, it's time for you to let go. Because you see, God has a blessing for us, but the only way you're going to enjoy, the only way Jacob's going to enjoy this blessing, he's going to have to release some things. 93 years of struggle, and the angel of the Lord said to him, let me go. What is it that keeps you from sleeping at night? What is it that keeps you in a tizzy? What is it that keeps you in a struggle? What is it that you have to wrestle with and fight with all the time? Could it be a fresh breath of the Spirit of God would say to you as it said to Jacob, I want to bless you, but would you just let go? Now, I want to mention four different thoughts about this matter of Jacob letting go, and I want to make application to your life and to my life if we're going to enjoy the blessings of God. First of all, I want to suggest to you that if Jacob is going to enjoy the blessings of God for his life, he's going to have to let go and let God have the things that he can do. Jacob has great skills. He is a man who has great wit. And you just don't want to go up against him in any kind of a struggle because he's going to beat you. I mean, he gets the chance to purchase, he thinks, the birthright from his brother. And instead of giving a bowl of soup to him, he sells it to him. He said, I'll sell you this birthright for a bowl of soup. Now, why did he do that? Because he could. He was in the dominant position. But is that right? Your brother is hungry and you just won't give him a bowl of soup? You want to sell him a bowl? Is that to your advantage? Why are you doing that? What's going to be the outcome of that? What is the ulterior motive? Why are you doing that? Well, I can. Well, what you can do can get you in more trouble than anything else. He lies to his father. His father is old and blind, and he goes before him and dresses upon the advice of his mother. And by the way, moms and dads and everybody else, don't get involved in these issues. And she says to him, dress up like your brother. I'll put some hair on your arms. You can wear his clothes, and he won't know the difference. He's blind. And he goes in and deceives his father. Now, why does he do that? Because he can. He can. His father can't see. And then he goes up, and I still have not figured out how he got those cattle separated to his own advantage by putting that whatever it was in front of them, and they turned out to be what was in the deal for him, speckled. I still don't know how that come about. But what I'm saying to you is the problem is Jacob is he's superseding everybody around him, but he's not enjoying his blessing as a result of it. He's struggling all the time. Who cares if you've got $1 million if you can't enjoy it? Who cares if you've got a lot of cattle if you've got to run from your uncle? Who cares if you've sold the bowl of soup if you're still in misery? He's entertaining silly battles, and he's got a sorry behavior, and he's got shady bargainings. And he never did consider the outcome and the end result of manipulating everything to his own advantage, because in chapter number 32, the reason why he's here all alone is he has come back from his uncle, has to leave by night because of the shady deals, and now he's heard that his brother Esau, who hates him, has come to meet him, and he's afraid that Esau's going to kill him and his family, so he separates everybody and he's all by himself. In other words, he's created a world of brokenness and bitterness and emptiness and loneliness. I'm going to tell you the reason. Because he might want to blame it on Esau, and he might want to blame it on his daddy, and he might want to blame it, and he may have some reasons to. But the bottom line is you can check all of these situations where he's had a fight, and one thing you'll find for sure is that his handprint is on each one of them. Why? Because he's been squeezing and choking and conniving and all those other things. My brother had his house broken into in Cleveland, Ohio, and they come and did a CSI report, and they said to him, "We've got the fingerprints here that this guy's left. We'll go down and run them through the computer, and if there's a match and he's done it before and we know who he is, we'll call you." And so they did. They called and said, "We've got him." And said, "Come on." He said, "Well, how?" He said, "Well, he had been a part of another crime scene, and he left his fingerprints on it." Can I make a bold statement tonight? If you've got something that's eating at you, that you cannot rest, you cannot get any sleep, you've got something that's just tearing you apart, you've got something that's keeping you in a struggle, something that's keeping you all uptight, something that's keeping you fighting, if you will analyze it somewhere, you've gotten involved in something you've got no business being involved in. Your handprint is on that somewhere. In that relationship, in that job situation, in that family situation, in that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to enjoy God's blessing, you're going to have to know God is doing it, so you'll have to get your hands off of it to find out. Amen. How can you know God did it when your hands are all over it and you left your fingerprints there? Amen.
That's right.
All of my misery has been caused by these. I think of that wonderful illustration of David who Saul, because of his rebellion against God, knew that David was going to be the next king, so he hunted him and haunted him and wanted to kill him year after year after year. Some suppose it was like a 10-year span, and David was having to live in the mountains and in the caves and other places. By the providence of God, Saul happens to go by himself into a cave where David and his mighty men were, and goes to sleep. And the mighty men said to David, "Look, he's been placed in your hands. Drive him through. Kill him." And David said, "Oh no, I will not put my hands on God's anointed." All the excuses in the world to get involved in doing things. Yes, you can make that telephone call. Yeah, you can tell them off. You can get into that battle. Yeah, you can do it. But what is going to be the end result after you have taken charge? I'm saying to you, If you are going to enjoy God's blessing as Jacob wants to enjoy God's blessing, mark it down. You're going to have to let go and let God release to the Lord those things that you can do. Don't just do something because you can. Get along with the Lord and say, Lord, I do not want to. I'll say what you want me to do, say, or I'll do what you want me to do. But I don't want to get involved on my own. Second thing I want to suggest to you, if you're going to enjoy God's blessings, you're going to have to let go and let God have the things you can do. But, again, if you'll look in chapter number 25, the Bible says that he has his hand on, or verse 26, he has his hand of chapter number 25 on Esau's heel. Now that seems silly to you and I, but this set the course for Jacob's life. He's trying to undo the impossible. He's trying to change the order of birth, the time of birth. He's trying to switch things to where he is first and his brother is second. And again, I can't. But if you read verse 23, the Bible said they struggled. Verse 22, they struggled in the womb. They fought in the womb over this. You say, well, I don't think kids know the difference. Oh, yeah? Well, you set 2 9-month-old children in the floor and put 100 toys here, and I'll bet you in 10 minutes they'll be fighting over one of those toys. That's just the nature of it. And here he is trying to do his best to change what cannot and forever will not be changed. Do you think God has anything to do with the timing of our birth? Do you think you were born by accident? Or could it be that the Lord ordained the day and the time of your birth? Do you think when Esau was born first that heaven was in an alarm state? And God called Michael and Gabriel over there and said, now I will explain that. You know I wanted to do something with Jacob. Now you got Esau born first and with all the rules. What did y'all do? Heaven was not on alarm. He was not worried about that. He was in charge. He ordained Esau to be born first. And I don't care what Jacob does, and I'm glad he wanted the blessing, and I'm glad he desired the blessing, but I don't care how much energy he puts into it. He cannot change history. Esau was born first. And boy, haven't you looked at the issues of your life, and you think, man, I'm going in this direction, but everything's moving in that direction. And you're like a calf looking at a new gate saying, how in the world am I going to change all this? It needs to be changed. Somebody's got to change it. It's left up to me to change it, but I can't change it. Truth of the matter is, Jacob is going to have to surrender this to the very purposes and mind of God as to why it turned out like it did. Instead of trying to figure it out and then taking it into your hands and trying to alter it and change something as if you're going to be able to change the purposes of God, and then if you look into the text, even change the passions of men. The Bible said his father, who has the power of the blessing, loved his brother Esau more than he loved him. You know many times he sat across the table and he could listen to him talk to Esau and tell there was a different tone in his voice. He could see his eye contact with Esau. Or he could see when he'd come by Esau and put his hand on it. He caught that day by day and he knew his daddy loved. But honey, there was nothing he could do to change that. You can't change men's hearts and how they feel about you and how they're going to live and do and all of those other things. Don't you wish you could wave a wand and change everybody the way you think they ought to be? Well, this world would be in a mess, wouldn't it? Well, we'd think we'd have it. We'd say, all right, now you sit here, and then you sit here, and then you move over there. And boy, doesn't this get us in a tizzy as we try to figure all that out and get it placed just right. Now, it won't work back there because we don't want, but we'll work up here, and then come on, and then you're just completely worn out. And then after it's all over, you realize you didn't accomplish anything because it won't work. It's impossible. It's better if you're going to enjoy the blessings of God to lay down at night and realize that there's some things God didn't intend on you changing. So you have to let it go. And boy, don't we run into those fences all the time. That we somehow know that this is the direction we're going in and we're trying to serve God and we want that. And man, it'd be so good to have that birthright and blessing. And I know Esau's out there in front and I know what the ball to the thing is and I know he's going to, but he don't even want it. So if somehow I could change the records and I could get in there and get a hold of his birth certificate and if I could change it all, if I could do it. Wrestling with impossibilities. You can't do it. Let go and let God have the things you can do. Don't just do them because you can't, but let go and let God have the things that you're never going to be able to change anyway. Can't change it. Well, I pastored for 22 years and some of them knotheads I wanted to change. But when I left there, they wasn't changed. Now, God changed some of them after I left. Wasn't that a real deal? But I couldn't do it. And I had to lay down at night and just say, Lord, it's yours. I don't want to put my hand. I wanted to put my hands on them. I did. I wanted to leave some deep fingerprints. It's kind of my marriage. You know, when you got married, you loved her and she loved you. But there was just some things about each other you didn't like. But in your mind, you thought, man, we're going to get married and live happily ever after because I'm going to change him. Now, I really love him, but there's a few things he does like his daddy, and I ain't living with that. Or I really love her, but she ain't going around acting like her mama. I'll change that. And so for 50 years, what you do is you put your handprints on each other trying to change what God never gave you the ability to change. Carry that old knothead before the throne and let God take care of him. If he can't change him, you can't. Nor me. Ain't that right? And hey, ladies, what did you want when you got married? You want a man, right? You want a man. And then you tell him, don't eat like that. Well, you want a man. That's the way men eat. And then when that woman comes home, you'll say, well, how much money did you spend? Don't ask her that. You're causing trouble and she's going to lie. Because what she's going to say is, oh, they had real deals. Well, but I'm still broke. It was a real deal, but I'm still broke. Ain't been, well, several years ago, one of my grandchildren was about 4 or 5 years old and she went shopping with her mama and Mama E, my wife, and I told him, I said, well, I'll come up there later and we'll have lunch and I'll bring Abby back with me. And so I did, but they'd been to one of the stores, Belk's or something, and they'd bought Abby something. And you know how it is. You can go in there and buy a pair of socks and they'll give you a receipt that long. I don't know why. The paper costs more than the socks does. I mean, it's just... Anyway, they put it in a bag and we brought her home and she comes in the house and she goes into the living room and I'm in the kitchen and I can hear her. If I want to, I can see her. And she opens that plastic bag and she reaches in there and then I look around and she pulls out this ticket and she stretches it like that. And she said, I saved myself $35. I said, I wonder where she learned that from. Huh? But here's what I'm telling you. You ain't going to change that woman. And you ain't going to change that man. But I know somebody that can. Right. And we all need changing. Amen? Amen. But if you're going to enjoy, if you're going to be able to enjoy the blessings of God, you're going to have to let go and let him have the things you can do, the things you cannot do. But the third thing, I notice in chapter number 32 in verse number 9 that from what I can tell, for the first time, Jacob is really, really trying to do what God wants him to do. He's trying to take his hands off of matters. If you'll notice his prayer in verse 9, chapter 32, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst to me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. See here, he's here. He's came back from his uncle Laban's because God said, go home. And he said, here I am. But then look in verse number 11, his past is coming after him. He said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Now, in this setting, Jacob has a choice to make. He has obeyed God. He has come to this place. He is where God wants him to be. But now his brother is coming to him. He has 300 men, and the last words that Esau said, that he heard, he said, was, I'm going to kill my brother when daddy dies. And so he's thinking in his mind, Esau's not coming for a picnic. And he prays, oh God. But if you'll notice that Jacob's got two or three options. One, he can turn and run back to Laban. But if he does, there's a fight over there. It won't do him no good. And plus, he'll be out of the will of God again. The second thing he can do is roll up his sleeves and say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm ready for one more fight with old Esau. I might as well have the grand finale with him. Send him on. We'll have another one. But he's sick of fighting with Esau. He's done with it. It hasn't helped him. He hasn't got any blessing out of it. He has no assurance in his life about it. He doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to put his hands on it again. Thank God for the day when the Lord will get you sick of your past and sick of the things that you've been involved in that you knew you shouldn't put your hands on. He's sick of it. So what he does, he turns and says, Lord, here. I'm not going to fight with Esau. I'm not going to get in the battle anymore. Lord, I'm just going to give this situation to you. And what he has to do, I want to say to you, he wants God's blessing, he wants God's blessing, but if he's going to enjoy God's blessing, he'll have to let go and let God have the things he can do, the things he cannot do, and the things that he is doing. Well, the devil likes to get us sidetracked. He'd like to get us derailed. He'd like to send some things into our lives that'll get us out of the will of God. To get us back into contention. He loves it. When somebody said, I'm going to fight the devil. He loves it. He loves it. I mean, as far as that physical fight is concerned, the world loves, they like to draw you in to those battles. People love to stir the saints up as far as conflict is concerned. Why? They want to get you away from where you're supposed to be. But here I want to say this to you. If you're going to enjoy the blessings of God, if God has called you to preach, no matter what happens in your life, keep preaching. If He has given you the ability to teach, no matter who comes your way or what comes your way, do not stop that. If He's given you a prison ministry and there's folks that don't like that prison ministry, yeah, just keep on doing the prison ministry. No matter what comes your way, you just keep on doing what God has told you to do. I don't care what you face today or what you're going to face tomorrow. Don't let it sidetrack you. You started out to follow the Lord. Just keep on following the Lord. Keep on singing, keep on praying, keep on praising, keep on witnessing. Just stay on track and God will take care of the Esau's. And you won't even have to get involved in the fight. Woo! Don't you like it when He takes care of it? I'm saying if you're going to enjoy the blessing, He wants this blessing. But He can't even enjoy it. Why? He's going to have to let go of some things. Go back to chapter number 25. And I want you to look at this verse. Verse number 23. Look at what it says. Boy, if his mama hadn't got caught up in the conflict and could have told him what God had told her, what a difference it would have made in that home. Look in verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. See, truth of the matter is, God had this thing settled before it ever even started. In other words, God had blessed Jacob before there ever was a Jacob. Before he was ever, it didn't make it. Somebody said, "Yeah, but you know, he's second. I don't care what number he is. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just concerned with how God looks at it, and the way God looked at it, he was first. It doesn't make any difference how other people feel about you, what others think about you, or what the status quo is. All I'm concerned is with how God views me. And he said, that boy is going to be number one. Didn't he? He said, the elder shall serve the younger. So what Jacob's going to, and I want you to get this, what Jacob's going to have, if he's going to enjoy the blessings of God, he's going to have to let go and let God have the things he's already done. To realize that we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's already settled. Amen. Well, just to lay down at night tonight and realize I don't have to get into some kind of fleshly fight to make sure tomorrow's okay. But tomorrow has already been taken care of by God. If we could just believe that, if we could just let go and let God have what he's already accomplished, what he's already done, but he's doing it even before there was a Jacob. But you know, I noticed that he has to do it, he has to bless Jacob in spite of Jacob. You see, God, it's not God doesn't want to bless us. He's just got to get us out of the way so he can bless us. It's not that God doesn't want to take care of the need. He's got to get your hands off from it so he can provide for the need. Jacob's always out there in a mess. But the scripture tells us that God has blessed him, but he has to do it in spite of him because he certainly doesn't deserve it. And look what a mess he's calling us in everywhere he goes. And I must confess, God has blessed me enormously in spite of me. If he had shut the fountain off at all the times that I deserved it shut off, I'd have dried up like a prune. But you know, Jacob is a squeezer. He's a squeezer. Now get this. A couple of illustrations and I'll close. He's going to have to let go. You're going to have to, if you're going to enjoy God's blessing, you'll have to let go and let God have it. Jacob is a squeezer. He wants that blessing. But he's going to have to let go and let God have what he's already done in spite of him. Jacob is a squeezer. He's a fighter. And he's tough. And every time you met Jacob, you met him with this kind of a stance. It's the way he looked. Well, what's that bring out of people? Not the best. I mean, if a guy comes towards you like this, you kind of get defensive. What was he after? And he's got a snarl on his face. You ought to preach to some of them people. And everywhere he goes, he's thinking somebody's stealing something from him, his blessing. Let me check your pockets before you leave. Have you got my blessing? You got some of my blessing? I'll tell you right, you ain't going to get out of here with them. Huh? And everywhere he went. But you know, they tell us that if you leave your hands balled up like that long enough, tight, that somebody's going to have to break them open for you. Tightly squeezed. And the only way, I mean, have you thought about it? You can't even praise God like that. You ever tried it? You ever seen anybody saying, praise God? You can't do it. It's got no praise in it. The only way you're going to be able to praise God is you're going to have to turn something loose. Boy, when you do that, then you can begin to praise Him. Several years ago, I took my suits to this cleaners and they shrunk them all. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. They shrunk them all up, I said. And it's happening again. And it's a whole different set of cleaners. And I can remember my wife saying to me, she said, honey, I'm getting tired of looking at your belly while you preach. Go a size bigger than you. I said, no, I'm not going another size. I don't want to. I mean, you just don't want to just all of a sudden bust into a new size. And somebody said, what size you wear? And you have to tell them it's a bigger size. But we did go to the suit place, and we went to that suit place looking for suits. And I said, honey, you don't understand. I said, suits, even though, you know, different companies will put the same size number on them, but some of them's different. It's like shoes or anything else. And so I go and I try on suits, but I'm trying on the same size that I are. And they wouldn't none of them. I said, lo and behold, they wouldn't none of them. I mean, there's all, if they said that size, that's what they fit. And she got tired of them. There's a gentleman walking by that worked for that suit place. And she said, sir, would you help my husband decide on what size suit? And she'd already picked one out and had it laid over, and it was the bigger size. He said, well, put that coat on. And so I put the coat on. Man, I can't hardly do it with this one. And he said, button it up. And I buttoned it up. He said, now raise your hands like this. And I raised my hands like this. And then he said something that I didn't expect. He said, now say hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He said, how's that feel? I said, good. He said, it fits. See, I've got my suits. I couldn't say hallelujah in them. Buttons and go every way. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you're all snarled up, if you can't raise your hands toward heaven and say hallelujah, honey, you've got something squeezed too tight. And if something got a hold of you, let it go. If you want to enjoy God's blessing, let me say this. There is the blessings of God could not be altered on Jacob's life, your life, or my life. Nobody, I'm here to tell you, the devil nor nobody can take God's blessing from your life. There's one person here tonight that can keep you from enjoying it. And no, it ain't her. And it ain't him. Will you raise your hand if you think you know who it is? The only person tonight that can keep me from enjoying what God has for me is me. Just turn it all over to him. I had a friend, and I sometimes wonder, who invited me one day to go water skiing. He said, Brother Dana, you ever been water skiing? I said, no. He said, you need to try it. He said, it's exhilarating. It's an experience that you just have to try. I said, it's wonderful. I said, well, okay. Me and my wife met him and his wife, and we went down on the lake, and he put the life jacket, let me put the life jacket on, thank God. And I laid back in the water. He said, now put these skis on. And he said, I'm going to hook it to that boat right there. And said, what will happen is I'll take it 35 miles an hour. And said, you just pull yourself up. And once you get up, if you want to do it on one leg or two legs, or if you want to turn around, you just do what you want to do. So I'm thinking, man, it's going to be easy. And so I put the skis on, and I've got a hold of that bar, and he takes off. And I assume he went 35 miles an hour. But have you ever felt water up your nose at 35 miles an hour? Man, you're talking about burning sensations. My sinuses. But he wasn't stopping. But I said to myself, you know, I've got to get up out of here. I'm going to give it a gusto. I'm going to give it all I got. I grabbed hold of that bar, man, up. And I felt myself gloriously coming up. And then I went straight back down. And when I hit the water, 35 miles an hour with my face, there was a very important part of information he forgot to tell me. You've tried it. I said to myself, I know what they're going to do. They're going to run off and leave me and then come by. Oh, no, they're not. I'm holding on to this thing. That was my mindset, but I didn't know that if you hold on, that you'll go down as deep as that rope will take you. Brothers and sisters, I saw catfish half as big as myself. But then it dawned on me, I came to my senses. I said, you know, if I keep holding on to this thing, it ain't going to hurt them. But it's going to kill me. They'll be dragging me off the bottom. Brothers and sisters, that's where a lot of God's children are. They're on the bottom, holding on to something that ain't going to do nothing but kill them. Worried about what somebody else is thinking about out there in front. And by the way, when I come up, it was within milliseconds of death. And when I cleared, everything cleared and got my eyes cleared, I looked and my wife was laying over the side of that boat laughing. And still laughs to this day over it. But what I'm simply trying to say to you is you can hold on. I don't care what it is. It may be a son or daughter. It may be a job. It may be a scenario in your life that I could not even think about. I hesitate to mention all those things. But I'm here to tell you, go ahead and hold on to them and squeeze them and put your handprints on them and try to make something out of it yourself. And you will the one be miserable and you will go to the early grave because of stress and heart attacks and all that other stuff. You're the one it's going to hurt. The angel of the Lord said to Jacob, Jacob, it's over, buddy. You let go. And Jesus said it this way, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But he can't give you rest as long as you're choking, squeezing, holding. See, but you don't know who I'm married to. Let it go. But you don't know what they're doing to me on the job. And if I don't make my move, they're going to make their move and I'll be out on. Let it go. But you don't know what she talked about me and she said to others. You don't know what he did. Let it go. And just go ahead and enjoy God's blessings. And if Jacob had known that, he could have enjoyed his bowl of soup and give Esau one. And Esau, I'm sure, would have rubbed it in his face maybe. I don't know. I don't know if Esau could have said, I'm number one. And Jacob wouldn't have had to say a thing except in his heart to say, pitiful soul, he don't know what I know. Mama didn't tell him what God said, evidently. This world can't get the best of you. The devil can't get the best of you. You belong to the Father, and He's blessed you in the Son. So let it go. Man, he could have went through life singing songs that had that word blessing in it. Showers of blessings. Huh? What's some another song? Anybody think of another song with blessing on it? Huh? Count your blessing. Blessed assurance. Somebody said, Jacob, he just sounds so different. Wonder what happened to him. I don't know, he said something about letting go the other night. He'd been a different man. Now don't misunderstand me. If God tells you to get a hold of something, you ride her to the ground. If God tells you to say something, you say it. But honey, most of what we're doing has nothing to do with God. I see him on Sunday morning and stand up. Esau may have been the song leader or something. He said, oh, excuse me. He said, if you don't mind, I'd like to sing one this morning. He said, "What, Jacob, what are you going to say?" He said, blessed assurance. He said, I just found out that God has taken care of everything in my life. And I ain't fighting no more. Let's stand about our heads.